Hello there. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Black Country Talking News, and this week's edition is for the 17th of November, 2021.
Hello. And welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by sightloss charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods: calling 01902 213 210, visiting our website www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by simply searching Beacon Black Country Talking News and hitting the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. Appearing this week, we have myself, Rob, Mina, Craig, Helen, Anne, Remy, Simon, Angela, Christine, Ed, Liz, Ian, Tanya, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country. We have the quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, Craig's Black Country joke book, information from Grand Theatre and their accessible shows, information about lighting and sight loss, and rounding all that off with an article on spices used in Christmas baking. But we start this week with news from the Beacon Centre's Fab Lab. Our Fab Lab, which produces a plethora of personalised items, have now launched their Christmas range on their online Etsy shop. From crafted Christmas decorations and Christmas cards to a wide range of personalisable gifts, such as t-shirts, mugs and jigsaws, as well as unique bespoke festive ornaments, there's a great range to be found there, and every purchase made helps support the Beacon Centre and people with sight loss. To find out more and to make a purchase, simply search for Made by Fab Lab on Etsy.com, or simpler still, use the web address tiny.cc/beaconfablab. If you don't have online access, don't worry. You can always inquire about the Fab Lab by calling us on 01902 880 111 or by visiting one of our shops. Now we have our Guess the Sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. We start as always then, with some local news, brought to us by Ian, Angela, Ed, Christine, and first up, we have Liz.
Councillors are being advised to approve the demolition of the former Dudley Hippodrome Theatre when the controversial plans are considered this week. Planning Officer Richard Stevenson is recommending that plans to demolish the Art Deco Theatre, along with the neighbouring former ice rink, should be given the go-ahead at a meeting of the Development Control Committee. The two buildings will be replaced with a new university campus specialising in nursing and healthcare courses, should the scheme be approved. But Mr. Stevenson added that any decision by the committee would still be subject to approval from Secretary of State for Levelling Up, Communities and Housing, Michael Gove, who would have the power to call in the new scheme for review. Mr. Stevenson said the plans had attracted 76 letters of objection, with concerns raised about the loss of an important building and objections to the design of the proposed college buildings to replace it. Residents had also called for the site to be retained for leisure or tourism use and voiced concerns that the plans were not befitting of an important gateway to the town. The Theatres Trust and 20th Century Society had both objected to the plans, he said, although government-funded conservation group Historic England had raised no objections. The Hippodrome has not hosted live entertainment since 1974, but remained in use as a bingo hall until 2009, shortly before it was bought by Dudley Council. The neighbouring former ice rink is currently used as a martial arts centre, and part of it was also used until recently as the former JB's nightclub. Mr. Stevenson said that Mr. Gove's department had written to the council requesting that no decision notice should be issued until it had an opportunity to consider the resolution of the committee.
Passengers have been urged to find other ways of travelling after the region's tram fleet was suspended for 4 weeks after faults were discovered. West Midlands Metro chiefs said cracks had been discovered on the trams and repairs needed to be carried out as quickly as possible. The service was suspended on Saturday and marked the second time the fleet has been pulled from service since cracks were found back in June. Temporary repairs had been carried out, but inspections have revealed more extensive and permanent repairs are now required, Metro bosses say. A spokesman for West Midlands Metro said staff affected would be redeployed across the company to help people find alternative ways to travel across the region. Staff were kept informed about the services being suspended through internal communication channels, the spokesman added. People with West Midlands Metro tickets or passes will be able to use these on certain buses. For more information, visit westmidlandsmetro.com or phone 0345 835 8181.
Just a fifth of children have been vaccinated against COVID-19, as health chiefs have warned there is still a long way to go. In the latest figures released by NHS England, it has been revealed that an average of 20% of 12 to 15-year-olds across the Black Country and Staffordshire have received a single dose of the coronavirus jab. This has prompted health chiefs to urge all eligible youngsters to get vaccinated in order to protect themselves and their friends and family against the virus. Figures up to November the 9th show that 16% of children aged 12 to 15 have been jabbed in Wolverhampton. In Walsall, it's 28%, Sandwell is 19%, and Dudley is 22%. In Sandwell, Dr. Lisa McNally criticised anti-vaxxers who were trying to scare away young people from the jab. She said, "Some anti-vaccination campaigners have been trying to scare young people and parents into refusing vaccination. Their efforts have even extended to confronting young people outside of their schools with misinformation. It's important that we don't allow them to manipulate us into missing out on vaccination and the chance to protect our community." Wolverhampton's Director of Public Health, John Denley, said it was important for children to get vaccinated to reduce school transmission. He said, "We have been working closely with schools and health partners to coordinate the vaccination programme and ensure that all eligible 12 to 15-year-olds in Wolverhampton are offered the chance to have their COVID-19 vaccination. Uptake among 12 to 15-year-olds in school is averaging around 20%, though a number of schools in Wolverhampton are still to be visited, and therefore the total number of vaccinations delivered will increase further over the next few weeks."
Police are urging anyone possessing a knife, blade or other weapon to deposit it in one of their surrender bins. As part of Operation Spectre, a national campaign aimed at reducing knife crime, a week of action to gather and destroy weapons. West Midlands Police say the bins have been specifically designed to offer maximum safety and knives are surrendered anonymously. The West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner, Simon Foster, has supported the installation of weapon surrender bins in Wolverhampton, Dudley, Sandwell and Birmingham. Over the past decade, knife crime has been a growing problem for our region, as it has been across the country, said Mr. Foster. "It is therefore vital that we get as many knives off our streets as possible, and so I'd urge people to use one of my weapon surrender bins to dispose of any knives or weapons that they feel they should not have. Each knife deposited into a weapon surrender bin will be held securely and then destroyed. This is part of our strategy to prevent violence, protect people and save lives. Police stressed it is illegal to carry a knife with any size blade if it is used or intended for use as a weapon. It is also illegal to carry a knife in a public space if the blade is longer than 3 inches, unless it is used for a trade. Selling a knife to anyone under the age of 18 is also prohibited.
Cruel vandals have thrown engine oil all over the front of the Black Country home of an elderly man. His family have said they are seething at the brainless act in which crooks coated the entirety of the front of the house in the Gospel End area of Sedgley in black, sticky oil. They have reported the incident to West Midlands Police after it happened at about 4 a.m. on Friday, November the 12th. Joe Davis shared a picture of the damage on Facebook and said, "No, I'm not angry, I'm positively seething. Woken up at 4 a.m. by some brainless person throwing what we suspect is used engine oil at the front of my father's house and now smelling through the whole property, making us all feel sick. I only woke up by chance after hearing something being thrown at the downstairs window. I clearly saw them and have reported this to the police. However, as this was obviously premeditated, they duct taped over their car registration, so we can't formally trace them. However, they must have been totally saturated with oil, especially with the amount he threw around and in his car boot, which was a silver Ford Focus. If you know who this was, please do the right thing and call it in. Why should who has done this mindless act of senseless criminal damage be proud of what they've done?" Jo said her elderly father was shaken and that she was fuming at what had happened. West Midlands Police has been contacted for comment.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen, back with your Beacon Update for the week. Firstly, can you help us light up our beautiful virtual tree? Each light, lit in memory of someone special, will shine bright in honour of a loved one, gone but never forgotten. If you'd like to honour someone you'll be thinking of over the festive season, visit www.visufund.com/forgetmenot21. That's www.visufund.com/forgetmenot21. To add your memory or message of hope, just click donate, choose a light and make your dedication. You can even upload a photo to go alongside your dedication. Help us light our tree with memories. Every dedication made will help ensure that no one is left facing sight loss alone. Thank you. Now, over the last 2 months, our employment teams have helped 6 people find work and another 7 to start training. They've taken up posts in hospitality, admin and manufacturing and started training courses in everything from IT and food hygiene to animal care. We're so proud of all they've achieved and wish them the very best of luck in starting a new chapter in life. If you're living with a disability and would like support to find work or improve your skills, why not get in touch? Call 01902 880111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. That's inquiries@beaconvision.org. The Bridges Project and the Evolve Project are funded by the European Social Fund and the National Lottery Community Fund. Now, our friends at the West Midlands Sight Loss Councils are holding an entertainment-themed VI forum on November the 24th. You'll be able to ask about everything from booking tickets and the accessibility of a venue to audio descriptions and any other concerns that you might have. Guest speakers will include representatives from the Black Country Living Museum and the Birmingham Rep Theatre. Finishing off the event, you'll have the opportunity to hear from the brilliant visually impaired drag artist, Ebony Rose Dark. To find out more and register your place, head to www.sightlosscouncils.org.uk. That's www.sightlosscouncils.org.uk. Now, last this week, it's back. Yes, our Christmas 2021 raffle is now live. And once again this year, we've got some incredible prizes to help make this festive season one to remember. Our first prize will be a hit with footy fans everywhere. It's a signed Wolves football and a wine hamper for those who might enjoy a festive tipple. If you bag our second prize, you'll get 2 tickets to the Monkey Forest, a canal boat trip for a family of 4, and a selection of Christmas goodies. our third prize winner will get a festive Christmas hamper that will keep you going through to the new year. It costs £2 to enter, and every ticket sold helps us ensure we can support people with sight loss living locally who may be struggling with their confidence or their independence. Get your ticket by heading to www.justgiving.com/beaconchristmasraffle2021. That's www.justgiving.com/beaconchristmasraffle2021. Remember, please gamble responsibly and terms and conditions apply. Good luck. Right, that's it for this week. I'll be back to chat to you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for that update, Helen. Now we have a new block of local news. And we hear first from Christine.
A £15.6 million medical unit has opened at Russell's Hall Hospital to help ease pressure on A&E services. The two-storey rainbow unit has been built next to the emergency department at the Dudley Hospital. It has now been opened to patients, including those referred by their GP or brought in by ambulance, to avoid unnecessary attendances at the emergency department. Patients will be seen, treated and sent home or transferred to the first floor short stay ward. If needed, they will be transferred to the main hospital. It comes after West Midlands Ambulance Service told how delays in handovers at hospitals across the region were among the worst in the service's history. Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust Chief Executive Diane Wake said, "Our clinical teams will be able to work much better in this facility and we will be able to do things such as speeding up ambulance handovers." The ground floor assessment unit has 22 spaces plus 8 monitored beds for the most poorly, while first floor has a short stay ward with 30 beds. Among the first to be wheeled into the new block was retired postman Douglas Woods, aged 72. Mr. Woods of Cradley Heath said, "The staff here have been looking after me. I am feeling a bit better since I was brought into the hospital. I was a postman for 19 years and a housing officer in Hales Owen before that." The Trust's Deputy Clinical Director for Acute and Urgent Care, Mr. Murali Veerabahu, said, "This new unit means our teams will be able to work collaboratively, as we won't need to be running from the far end of the hospital where the old acute medical unit was to get to the emergency department. Everything is now better connected. We can get to patients earlier and provide specialist care when needed."
A travel operator who disappointed hundreds of holidaymakers who forked out sums totalling £27,000 for a break that never materialised has appeared in court. Anthony Taylor, 57, appeared at Wolverhampton Crown Court, charged with an offence of fraudulent trading relating to an incident on February the 10th last year, when the coaches failed to arrive. Customers paid the defendant for the trip booked with his Bilston-based enterprise TT Tours for stays at two hotels in Torquay. The court refused an application by Taylor, 57, to vacate his guilty plea, given on a basis at a previous hearing that he had paid the cash to a booking agent called Roger Pillsbury. Taylor told Judge Mr. Recorder Mark Brown that he pleaded guilty at a hearing in April this year due to his poor mental health, but his application was dismissed. The judge also dismissed Taylor's evidence given in a so-called Newton hearing that Mr. Pillsbury was responsible for the problems. Mr. Ben Mill, prosecuting, told the court that an investigation had failed to find any record of such a person. Mr. Recorder Brown told Taylor, "I therefore do not accept your evidence. I'm sure that Mr. Pillsbury was not involved and that none of the money was given to an agent. Therefore, I will proceed to sentence." Taylor told the court that he accepted that the business had been mismanaged and was in a bad state at the time of the offence. The matter was adjourned until November the 19th.
Organisers of two large Black Country firework displays have apologised to people who ended up stuck in traffic and missing some of the action. A record 22,000 people bought tickets to the sold-out event at Himley Hall in Dudley, while 15,000 tickets were sold for the display at Wolverhampton Racecourse on the same evening. While many enjoyed the circus-themed event at Himley, others were left angry at the congestion and lack of parking spaces which caused them to miss the show. Dudley Council has now apologised, saying it would continue to make improvements. Councillor Sean Keasy, Cabinet Member for Digital, Commercial and Customer Services, said, "We saw unprecedented demand for this year's event, which saw us sell out beforehand, and I want to thank those who came along." The bonfire has been running for more than 40 years and the car parking on site is limited. And for this reason, we do always advise people to make arrangements to walk in, park sensibly or use the free bus service. This year, we had advised people planning to travel by car to arrive early. The car parks were able to accommodate approximately 1,750 cars and the last car park closed just before 7 p.m. At a large-scale event with one access road, it is to be expected that it will take time for the crowds and traffic to disperse, but we understand people's frustrations and I apologise to those who experience delays. A Wolverhampton Council spokesperson said, "The fireworks spectacular at Wolverhampton Racecourse was a real success for the city, with unprecedented levels of demand. We saw a sell-out event with 15,000 tickets sold for people to enjoy the two world-class displays, and we have received a lot of positive feedback. To help people plan their journey, notices of the sell-out were issued on our social media channels, on local radio on the morning of the displays, and via our electronic messaging boards across the city on the day. We had also encouraged people to travel by public transport if they could. However, we are aware that there were issues with a high volume of traffic and we apologise for any inconvenience some people experienced."
A drink examined by police after reports of spiking contained a psychoactive chemical found in cannabis, the forces said. West Midlands police chiefs revealed they investigated 29 reports of spiking across the region, with 6 being made in the Black Country. The reports were made over a period of 5 days, November 5th to November 10th, as concerns grow over drink spiking across the region. Officers used a new multi-drug testing kit to test 28 of these cases, in which they were able to tell 27 people that no drugs were detected. However, the force revealed one sample from Walsall detected THC, a mind-altering psychoactive chemical found in cannabis, during their checks. It is described as being a psychoactive substance as it changes a person's mental state by affecting the way the brain and nervous system work. Detective Superintendent Sean Phillips, who is leading the police's response to spiking, said, "The kits have been really popular with people. They feel much safer when we're able to tell them that no drugs have been detected. Many will have never taken drugs before, so they were really worried about what would happen to their bodies. We always recommend that people still speak to their doctor or go to hospital in cases where they've told us that they were injected."
3 kittens have been dumped behind Asda supermarket in Briley Hill. The kittens, aged around 10 weeks, were discovered near the Pearson Street store by a member of the public after they had been left in a cage behind some bins. They were collected by RSPCA Inspector Claire Daly and are now being cared for at the Charity Animal Centre in Birmingham. Claire said the act was extremely callous to dump them. "Apart from needing treatment for fleas, they don't have any other health issues and will no doubt recover well from their ordeal with a little TLC," said Claire. "It was extremely callous to dump them where there were so many organisations who can offer support with rehoming. The RSPCA is urging anyone with information about the incident to get in touch via the charity's appeal line on 0300 123 0818. Claire added, "Incidents like this highlight yet again the importance of getting kittens and female cats neutered. Last year, the RSPCA rehomed 17,868 cats, which is 53 a day or 2 every hour, including 915 in the West Midlands. The charity's centres and branches are caring for more felines than any pet, with nearly 3,000 coming into the Society's care during the first 8 months of this year.
It's time next to give our brains a workout, as we have Mina with this week's quiz questions.
Hello and welcome to this week's TV-themed flashback quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. What did the inventor of the first television call his invention? Question 2. In what year was television made commercially available? Question 3. Do most people dream in colour or black and white? Question 4. What is the world's most watched TV programme? Question 5. What was the first TV advert broadcast in 1955? And finally, question 6. What did Logie Bard forbid his children to watch? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck.
Thanks very much for those, Mina. Now we have some more local news, and we hear first from Angela.
Illegal cigarettes and tobacco worth an estimated £5,000 have been seized from a shop in Stourbridge as part of a crackdown. Members of the public had raised concerns the owner of the store was allegedly selling illegal vapes and tobacco to school children. It prompted a visit from Dudley Council and police officials on Friday when the stash of illegal items were found during a search. Approximately £5,000 worth of cigarettes and hand rolling tobacco was found within a hidden compartment under the counter. A further examination revealed more than 180 illegal disposable vaping pens, all containing dangerously high levels of nicotine. Councillor Nicholas Barlow, Cabinet Member for Health and Adult Social Care, said, "This is an excellent result and I thank the member of the public who gave us the tip-off. Their proactive action has resulted in illegal goods being seized and prevented them from ending up in the hands of our young people. Shame on anyone who thinks it is acceptable to sell illegal goods, but particularly on those selling to children. Thanks to the support of the police, we will continue our fight against illegal trading. All illegal products were seized and the council will be pursuing further action against the operator of the business, which has not been named."
Wolves legend Ron Flowers, MBE, dies aged 87. Flowers was the club's fifth highest appearance holder and a star of the most successful era the club has had, in which they claimed 3 First Division titles and an FA Cup. He was also part of England's 1966 World Cup winning squad and made 515 appearances for Wolves over 15 years. The midfielder earned 49 caps for his country between 1958 and 1963 and was heralded for his ability on the ball and chance creation on the pitch. He scored England's first goal at a European Championship, scoring against France in 1962. He did not feature as Sir Alf Ramsey's men became world champions on home soil in 1966, but received a World Cup winner's medal at Downing Street in 2009 after only those on the field at the final whistle initially got one. A statement on the club's official Twitter feed read, "We are deeply saddened to announce the passing of club legend and vice president Ron Flowers, MBE, at the age of 87. A giant on the pitch and a gentleman off it. There will be many people remembering Ron today, and all of our thoughts are with those who knew and loved him. He joined from Wath Wanderers, a Wolves nursery club, and established himself as a key creative player in the side managed by Stan Cullis."
A retired couple in Staffordshire were hounded by a council, solicitors and debt collectors after a litter bug gave their address when fined for dropping a cigarette. Ian Ball and his partner from Codsall first heard about the littering fine when they received a letter in January this year. It seems that a woman, who gave the name Stacey Ann Lane, was caught dropping a cigarette butt while out shopping in Dudley in December 2020. However, when confronted, she gave officers the wrong address, and since then, Ian and his partner have been hounded by officials wanting the fine paid. Ian, a former business owner, said, "When the letters for Stacey first arrived, we sent them back with 'not known at this address' written on the front. However, they kept coming, and once we saw they were coming from the courts, we decided to open one, and that's when it all started." Despite proving there was no one of that name or description living in their home, the legal threats continued. Ian added, "We told the council that there was no one living at our address by the name of Stacey Ann Lane, but they didn't believe us. They can even see from the electoral roll that she isn't named as living at our address, and their response is that this still isn't conclusive evidence. We have done all the right things, contacting the council, courts and debt collectors, and yet the constant harassment from them continues." Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Public Realm at Dudley Council, admitted the situation had got well out of hand. She said, "This is extremely concerning, and we would ask the couple in question to get in contact with us so that we can help."
Launched in September 2019, the Get Home Safe campaign was originally aimed at the 4,500 new university students arriving in the city every year, but has now been rolled out to assist all members of the public. It initially sought to give clear guidance to students on how to travel safely using licensed vehicles, how to differentiate between taxis and private hire vehicles, and the importance of always pre-booking private hire vehicles. Wolverhampton Council's compliance service lead, Glenn Mosley, told a meeting of the regulatory committee on Wednesday, "In 2019, licensing services attended freshers' fairs at all University of Wolverhampton campuses in Wolverhampton, Walsall and Telford to promote the Get Home Safe campaign by talking to students and handing out promotional material such as mugs, pens, beer mats, keyrings and spikies. Over the intervening years, this has expanded to the public at large with Get Home Safe for Christmas and Travel Safe. The message was also advertised via targeted social media, such as Facebook and Twitter, as well as distributing flyers and information leaflets in pubs and clubs across the city and on electronic billboards around the city. The Taxi Licensing Council webpage was also updated with the Get Home Safe message and other important safety tips," he added. The target audience was later expanded to the public with successful campaigns such as Get Home Safe at Christmas, promoting the safety message online and at a promotional event in the Manda Centre.
Dudley Council Plus centres at Stourbridge and Briley Hill libraries have been axed as the service goes more phone and online based due to a drop in face-to-face contact since the pandemic. The Council's Customer Service Centre in Castle Street, Dudley, and its three smaller centres at Briley Hill, Halesowen and Stourbridge Libraries have all seen a decline in in-person contacts from 10% pre-COVID to just 2%, with more and more people moving to online self-service options and the phone service. People can still walk into the main Dudley Council Plus Centre Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m, but changes to layouts at Briley Hill and Stourbridge Libraries means there is no longer space for a physical presence, so the council can no longer run a service at these venues. Halesowen Library, however, has room to expand counter provision and an in-person service will continue there once building improvement works have been completed. Residents will no longer be able to pay using cash at the centres, though. This has been the case since the coronavirus pandemic began in March 2020, but the option to pay using cash is not being reinstated. Only 4% of residents pay with cash, with most paying by direct debit or standing order. Councillor Sean Keezy, Dudley Council's Cabinet Member for Digital Customer and Commercial Services, said, "We've seen a significant drop in face-to-face customer contacts across all our sites over the last few years, with only 2% of contacts being face-to-face over the last 18 months. which is why we've taken the decision to focus our walk-ins to where they are most used, Dudley and Hales Owen.
Now we hear the voice of Remy from the Wolverhampton Grand Theatre with information about their accessible shows.
Hello, my name is Remy Lloyd and I'm the Outreach Manager for Access and Inclusion at the Wolverhampton Grand Theatre. I'm going to talk today about our upcoming audio description performances and touch tours. Here at the Grand, we regularly schedule audio description for shows such as plays and musicals that visit us here. Our audio describer sits under the stage and describes the action and any visual elements on stage in the gaps in speech. This is then transmitted through our in-house headsets, and we have a range of headsets so you can find what works best for you and what you find most comfortable. Before an audio described performance, you have the opportunity to attend a touch tour, where you will go on stage and interact with items of scenery, props and costume accompanied by the audio describer and a member of staff. A touch tour is a great opportunity to have small elements of the show described in great detail and to ask any questions you might have about certain props, costume or scenery, or even characters. Once the touch tour has finished, a member of staff will ensure you have the best headset for you and that you're seated in good time for the introduction. This usually takes place 15 minutes before the performance begins via the headsets, and the describer sets the scene for listeners by describing certain characteristics and the appearance of characters and anything else that's important to know before the show begins. In the unlikely event that you experience any issues with your headset during the performance, you can pop your hand in the air and a member of the team will assist you. If you need any assistance whilst at the theatre, there will always be a member of staff on hand to help. We also welcome assistance dogs at the theatre, and they are more than welcome to join you in the auditorium during the performance. If you do wish to bring your dog, please make us aware when booking so we can provide you with the best available seats. If you'd prefer for your dog to remain outside of the auditorium during the performance, I can arrange for a kind volunteer from Beacon to come and look after them during the performance. Again, please just make us aware of this with as much notice as possible. Here is a list of some of the upcoming audio described performances we have scheduled at the moment. Cinderella, Wednesday the 15th of December at 2:30 p.m. Touch tour time 1 p.m. Description provided by Anne Hornsby of Mind's Eye. Cinderella, Sunday 9th of January at 1 p.m. The touch tour for this performance is fully booked. Description provided by Anne Hornsby of Mind's Eye. 6, Wednesday the 2nd of February at 5 p.m. Touch tour time to be confirmed. Description provided by Mind's Eye. Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Saturday 9th of April at 2:30 p.m. Touch tour time to be confirmed. Description provided by Mind's Eye. To book, please contact the box office between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays by calling 01902 429212. That's 01902 429212. Or for more information, you can contact me by email, remyl@grandtheatre.co.uk. That's remyl@grandtheatre.co.uk. Thank you for listening and we hope to welcome you very soon.
Thank you for that, Remy. Now we have our final block of local news. And starting this one, it's Christine.
Plans to extend licensing hours for the sale of alcohol at one of Aldi's flagship Wolverhampton stores has sparked a raft of objections from neighbours. The supermarket giant is bidding to extend the opening hours of several of its stores in the Black Country in Staffordshire over the festive period. A number of neighbours have emailed Wolverhampton Council's Licensing Committee to express their concerns regarding the superstore in Mercury Drive off Stafford Road. The store's current opening hours are Monday to Sunday, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. and Aldi is seeking an extension from 6 a.m. to midnight. One resident said, "I have read that Aldi in Mercury Drive is wanting to open at 6 a.m. and close at midnight. This is ridiculous for all the residents who live nearby, especially the ones who live right opposite the store and the car park. The delivery drivers come every night at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 4 a.m, etc., making lots of noise and leaving their engines running and their big headlights on, which shine through blinds and blackout curtains. It's a disgrace. Also, I want to know who's responsible for the car park. I have witnessed and have video footage of drug dealing and other crimes on that car park, including indecent exposure," she added. Lisa Gilligan of Solicitors Freeths, who are acting on behalf of Aldi, has provided licensing bosses with a mediation proposal. She said, "By way of background, this application is part of a programme of approximately 400 being submitted nationwide, where the current premises licences start at 8 a.m. This motivation for the application is simply to achieve an operational flexibility moving forward and permit the store to open earlier on occasions as it has over the last 12 months, particularly at Christmas, and to achieve social distancing."
Tributes have flooded in for an inspirational scout leader who served in the Scouts for 61 years and would do anything for anybody. Bernard Hewins, MBE from Starbridge, was desperate to join the Scouts but had to wait until the war was over in 1945, eventually becoming a cub when he was 9. He continued to belong to the organisation as a scout leader and supporter until he was 70 for the Amblecote Holy Trinity Division. Mr. Hewins' daughter Emma said, "I think it was his life. He was very proud and he took a lot of pride and satisfaction from seeing the youngsters come in and grow up. He was still very invested in them as adults because he's watched them grow up and they've gone on to teach these things to their children." Kevin Worrell from Briley Hill knew Mr. Hewins as he was his scout leader when he belonged to the organisation. The 54-year-old said, "I've known him since I was in the Cubs and he became a family friend. We never heard anyone say a bad word about him. Bernard would do anything for anybody. He was a lovely man. If the Scouts needed something making, he'd say, 'All right, I'll do that. Leave it with me.'" When asked about what the Scouts meant to him, Mr. Worrell said, "It shaped my teenage years. It taught me a lot of things which I still hold dear to this day." Mr. Hewins leaves behind daughter Emma, wife Dot, and grandchildren Jake and Abby.
Artists are set to explore diverse cultural histories at a special exhibition in the city in the new year. Wolverhampton is one of four cities hosting British Art Show 9, which will see the artist exhibiting at Wolverhampton Art Gallery and the University of Wolverhampton School of Art as part of the prestigious national tour. Presented by Hayward Gallery Touring, the exhibition will run from January the 22nd to April the 10th. Wolverhampton Art Gallery houses one of the most significant collections of art on the Troubles outside Northern Ireland. It also collects works linked to the British Black Arts Movement, which has its roots in the city, as many of its members studied at the Wolverhampton School of Art. Works on show in BAS 9 will include vibrant paintings depicting the cultural experience of Hervin Anderson, a Birmingham-born artist with Jamaican heritage, as well as furniture designed by students at Wolverhampton's Thomas Telford University Technical College at Springfield Campus. A new audiovisual installation by experimental rapper, producer, writer, visual and performance artist Gaker draws on his Caribbean heritage, sound system culture, and is a shrine to his murdered uncle and other Windrush generation deportees. There will also be street performances, dance, rapping, photography, sculpture, and visual art on display.
Dudley Zoo keepers thought they were seeing double when they discovered two newborn monkeys born on the same day to different mums but by the same busy dad. The two Geladas, also known as the bleeding heart monkey or the Gelada baboon, were born hours apart and are now both healthy. Lower primates section leader Jody Dryden said, "It was a total shock for the team. We knew both females were pregnant, but were not expecting the babies to arrive on the same day. We believe Tana gave birth first, as the boy was a lot drier than the girl when we found them. Keepers have named the male Caleb, while the female is Zala." Jody added, "Our mums are very experienced, as both new arrivals are their fourth offspring each, so they're coping fine with motherhood. And the babies, who are now almost a month old, are doing really well. In fact, we can't believe how advanced they are, as they're already starting to venture off from their mums. She added, "Perhaps it's because there are two of them and they're causing mischief together. But we've never seen babies as confident and wanting to play with their other siblings like this pair." The new arrivals bring the zoo's Gallarda total to 14. Dad to all the attraction's youngsters is 16-year-old Ebano.
A star of the Great British Bake Off will be sharing top tips for Christmas cakes and bakes when she visits a retirement home in the city this month. Val Stones, known as the Cake Whisperer, will be at McCarthy Stones Thornycroft Retirement Living Plus Development in Tetnall on November the 25th. Guests will be able to see Val in action creating bakes such as mince pies with her special mince meat, a Christmas cake decorated with glazed fruits, and will also get the chance to join her to decorate gingerbread stars. Local retirees are invited to come along for the event at the Wood Road home between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. They can even ask the baking staff for help with any festive food queries, as well as have the opportunity to take a picture with Val during a socially distanced meet and greet. "Christmas is one of the best times of the year to indulge in special bakes," said Val. "I'm really looking forward to sharing some of my favourite treats and tips with guests and homeowners at Thornycroft ahead of the traditional stir-up Sunday date in November. I've already got my menu planned, so I encourage everyone to come along and start Christmas with us. What better way to celebrate? Attendees are required to book in advance to secure a space on the guest list by calling 0800 201 4811.
Now it's time to hear from our fount of knowledge. Of course, I'm talking about our Flashback Roger and his Did You Know feature.
Hello everybody. Winter draws on, as my gran used to say, on these long evenings that are with us for a few weeks. But it's now that I like to settle in with a good audio book or two, if I can find one. And of course, there's the telly. Talking of which, did you know that? Television was actually invented much earlier than even I thought. It was actually in 1884, when Paul Gottlieb Nipkow of Germany developed the first television which featured an 18-line resolution. His new contraption could relay images via wires by way of a rotating metal disc. However, Nipkow never named his invention as a television, but called it an electric telescope. The first set of televisions for commercial sale to the general public began in 1928. These TV sets were produced using John Logie Baird's improved mechanical television design. He also demonstrated colour TV in 1926, but it was a long, long time after that it became commercially available. And some strange effects of black and white television have now become known. Most people dream in colour. However, for the people who grew up watching black and white television programmes, it now appears that their dreams are primarily in black and white due to the effect of seeing predominantly black and white images. And who'd have thought it? The most watched television show in the world is the British show Top Gear. It has become the most watched television show in the whole world, with an estimated total viewing of 350 million per week, and is now watched in over 170 countries across the globe. The very first television commercial advert was broadcast on the 1st of July 1941 in New York City. The advert featured a Bulova watch, and it took just 20 seconds to play. The very first advert to be shown in the UK was for Gibbs SR toothpaste in September 1955, and in 1969, the first one in colour in the UK was for Birdseye Frozen Peas. Incidentally, John Logie Baird didn't even let his children watch TV in his house. He said there was nothing of any value to see. Now, of course, there are hundreds if not thousands of channels of the same ilk, some say. But, of course, I couldn't possibly comment. Well, there it is then, folks, a little glimpse into the history of the Gogglebox. Logie Baird had his opinion. Where would we be without the world of entertainment at our fingertips? And like it or not, telly is a godsend and a lifeline to many folks. Any road up, I'm off to see what's on tonight. And while I'm at it, I think I better see if my TV licence is up to date. But anyway, I'll say bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra!
Now we have our sportsman, Ian, giving you all the latest football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. Bruno Lage believes Wolves are learning to deal with disruption caused by international breaks. Wolves currently have 12 senior players away from Compton Park, representing their countries, and Lage will have a limited time to prepare for the visit of West Ham on Saturday after their return. But the boss is philosophical about the changes posed by the break-in routine and happy the current international break features a less congested fixture list. Lage took the decision to drop Raul Jimenez for last month's derby win at Villa after the striker featured in three of Mexico's most recent World Cup qualifiers, eventually returning to Compton Park less than 48 hours before the domestic season resumed. But Mexico have only two matches this time round, and Jimenez will return to the UK on Wednesday evening. Lage explained, "Everyone wants to create the balance, so the players are available for their club and also for the national team. That's why we are working hard. The first international break was harder, the next one was easier, and I think this one will be the same." Jimenez played only one full match during the last break, and Lage continued, "Since the first day, we have a good relationship with the national team managers. We are trying to do the best for the player. We want the player to play every game, but it's also proud for us to see them go to the national team and play. That's the main thing we want for them, and we try to balance it the best we can. Mexico did well with Raul. He played 90 minutes, after he played 60, and then just played 30 minutes. That's the good relationship between us and all the national teams. Wolves have won both matches immediately following an international break this season and will host the Hammers, looking to bounce back from last weekend's disappointing 2-0 defeat at Crystal Palace. Head coach Valerian Ismail believes Albion will benefit from international football taking a break for 2 months. The current international break is the third of the season so far, with players having also met up with their national sides in September and October. But once this round of fixtures is complete, international football will undergo a 2-month break to allow the players to focus on club duties over the Christmas period. Apart from the hectic festive schedule, that means Albion will have a full week between many of their games, with fewer fixtures taking place on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And Ismail thinks that gap between games will benefit his side. At least this season is not like last season. Last season, from December through to March, there was a game every 3 days, Ismail said when asked about international breaks. This season we will have more Saturday to Saturday games, so we will have a full week to work with the guys and to prepare better for the next game and in more detail. I am looking forward to the period now and to stay focused on the job and the purpose. For sure we will need to give players some free time, but I think now it's better to keep our players together, especially the international players. The international breaks are never easy because the international players go away and they come back 2 days before the game. It's never easy to prepare for the game, but at least we will have a lot of time with the squad. We will be able to get some players back into the squad. We can control more what is happening on the pitch when you play Saturday to Saturday."
Cheers for that roundup, Ian. Now we have the weather, brought to us by Mina.
The weather for this week ahead is mostly dry but significantly colder than previous weeks, with temperatures hovering around 7 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:45 a.m. for the sunrise and 4:04 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 19th of November and Saturday 20th of November, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. On Sunday 21st and Monday 22nd of November, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 7 degrees. Moving on to Tuesday 23rd of November, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 8 degrees. On Wednesday 24th of November, It's light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 6 degrees. And finally, on Thursday, 25th of November, we have light rain showers and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 5 degrees. So, that's your forecast for the week. Please put a double coat on if you need to when going out. As always, enjoy the weather.
Now we hear from Tanya, who has information from the Thomas Pocklington Trust on how lighting can make your home safer and more comfortable if you're visually impaired.
Hello, it's Tanya here. An updated lighting guide aimed at visually impaired people has been published by the Thomas Pocklington Trust, TPT. The guide is designed to help visually impaired people improve lighting in their homes as a way of increasing their independence, comfort, and safety. Called Lighting in and Around the Home, a guide to better lighting for people with visual impairment, the guide is available free of charge in printed format or online at tnflink.uk/10v. That's tnflink.uk/10v. This new 2021 edition, which is endorsed by the Institution of Lighting Professionals, is an updated version of TPT's popular lighting guide. First published more than 10 years ago, earlier editions of the guide were aimed largely at frontline professionals such as housing and support staff, home improvement agency staff, vision rehabilitation officers, eye clinic liaison officers, and occupational therapists. The new edition is also written for blind and partially sighted people, their family members and friends, to provide practical tools and information to help them improve their lighting. TPT research into lighting in the homes of visually impaired people has found common problems include low levels of lighting, uneven lighting, shadows, and dark areas, and lack of information on potential improvements. This guide addresses these common problems and more. The Lighting Guide is the most requested publication the TPT charity has produced. Charles Cahoon, CEO of Thomas Pocklington Trust, explains why. Good lighting makes a huge difference to the lives of visually impaired people. It improves comfort and safety and can contribute to partially sighted people maintaining their independence. But lighting technology is evolving all the time. We want to ensure visually impaired people, their families and professionals that support them have the latest information on lighting. This is why we have again supported this update. The guide covers every part of the home and includes guidance on external lighting for safer access to and from the property. It's relevant to individual homes as well as shared and cluster type accommodation. Peter Hodgson, lighting consultant and editor, said, "This third edition of the guide reflects the latest news on the government ban on halogen bulbs and forthcoming ban on fluorescent technology. The guide shows that relatively simple adaptations to lighting can make a big impact on everyday activities." Hard copies of the updated guide are available free of charge by contacting info@pocklington-trust.org.uk.
Thanks for that, Tanya. Now we move over to Craig, who, as always, has his Black Country joke book.
Hello, I'm Craig, and I'll tell you some jokes from my Black Country joke book. An elderly bloke at the bus stop outside Russell's Hospital is talking to the next person in the queue, rubbing his head. "Why wouldn't they go to talk with me some jeep?" The person in the queue looks at him and says, "Really, why is that?" And the elderly man crying, "Because my missus keeps hitting me over the head with it." Here's another here. "Why do seagulls live by the sea? Because if they live by the bay, they will be called bagels." And finally, a sedgely man walked into a hardware shop and asked to buy a sink. "Would you like to buy one with a plug?" asked the assistant. "Don't tell me they've gone electric as well," said the man. I'm Craig, and that was from the Black Country Joke Book.
Well, cheers for those, Craig. Now we get the quiz answers, brought to us by Mina.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's television-themed flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. What did the inventor of the first television call his invention? The answer, the electric telescope. Question 2. In what year was television made commercially available? The answer, 1928. Question 3. Do most people dream in colour or black and white? And the answer, most dream in colour. Question 4. What is the world's most watched TV programme? And the answer, of course, is Top Gear. Question 5. What was the first UK TV advert broadcast in 1955? And the answer here is Gibbs SR toothpaste. And finally, question 6. What did Logie Baird forbid his children to watch? And the answer here is his home television. How did you do? Great, I hope. But don't worry, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I let you know the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of someone twangling a ruler. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have a piece from Anne talking all about spices used in Christmas baking.
Hello, this is Anne with an article about those wonderful Christmas spices. Christmas just wouldn't be Christmas without our favourite goodies, from gingerbread to mulled wine to delicious biscuits. And what would these treats be without the right spices? Christmas spices can be found in many dishes, and they all have one thing in common. With their seductive fragrance and incomparable taste, they get us in the Christmas mood. What are the most important spices? Anise comes ground or in whole seeds. It grows on a Mediterranean shrub. As a Christmas spice, it is found in gingerbread, honey cake, biscuits and more. Anise ensures that treats are easier to digest as it calms the stomach and the intestines. Cloves are found in mulled wine, punch and gingerbread. The dried flower buds strengthen the stomach, relieve bloating and help with diarrhea. If you have a toothache, you can chew on a clove instead of taking painkillers. The eugenol contained in the cloves has an anaesthetic effect. Allspice is closely related to cloves and can be found in biscuits and baked apples. The rich flavour of the spice means it can be used in many dishes as it tastes like a combination of nutmeg, cloves, pepper and cinnamon. The essential oils contained in the allspice help digestion and relieve flatulence. In addition, allspice is said to have a relaxing effect. Ginger is found in gingerbread and biscuits. It contains many essential oils that give it a spicy taste and have a warming effect. Ginger contains many anti-inflammatory substances and can help relieve pain. Cardamom is one of the most expensive spices in the world. It is closely related to ginger and comes from India. The root has a sweet and spicy taste and it is used in gingerbread. Cardamom has a beneficial effect on digestion. Coriander is an ingredient in gingerbread and can help with stomach cramps or support digestion. Vanilla is another very expensive spice, but has sweet notes and a mood-enhancing effect and thus contributes to more relaxation around Christmas stress. Nutmeg is also often found in biscuits. It has a calming effect and should be used in moderation. Last but not least, cinnamon. Cinnamon is an absolute classic and is found in almost all Advent dishes. The spice is obtained from the bark of evergreen cinnamon trees. There are two types, the spicier cassia cinnamon and the milder, less common, Ceylon cinnamon.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!